Welcome to the Family Life Church Podcast. We hope you're blessed and encouraged to share this with someone you know. Subscribe or visit thefamilylife.org for more information.
God is good. Say it one more time. When you walk out of the house today, say it, God is good. When you walk into your house today, say it, God is good. When you encounter somebody and when you're eating this afternoon at some restaurant, hey, say, God is good. When you wake up tomorrow morning, say, God is good. When you lay your head down at night, say, God is good. Amen. Where you walk, say, God is good. When you rise up, say, God is good. When you sit down, say, God is good. Hallelujah. Affirm it today. Know it today. Believe it today. God is good. The book of Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter. I am glad you are here. Thank you for standing. Thank you for your patience. And thank you for your prayers. And today I'm going to preach a word that I typed out. So I want everybody to hear this, please. I typed this message out more than 2 weeks ago for this particular Sunday. I dated it on that day to be preached on this day. And so the things that I am saying today in reflection to what I just told you have not changed. Amen. And I'm going to affirm it by the word of God that was given to me more than 2 weeks ago that I typed out. So will you walk with me for a moment in the word of God today? Yes. Amen. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy? The prophesy lies. Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Amen. Now walk with me for a few moments here, and let's talk about what is the chaff to the wheat. What is the chaff to the wheat? Father, I love you, and I love your word, and I thank you for it. And I thank you that it is faithful, and I thank you that it is good, God. And I pray, Lord, in your mercy and grace, that you would help us today to understand this, and to believe it, and to respond to it, God, and that you would be glorified. And so, Lord, I pray these things in your name. I pray these things, God, according to your will and your word, and let it be done. I pray, anoint every one of us. Anoint me to be your mouthpiece and all of us to hear, to receive, to respond. And thank you for your good and kind grace this day, Lord. We love you and we glorify you in Jesus' name. Let the church say amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. It was the second time up into the mountain that God called Moses to. He told him to hew two tables of stone like unto the first that were given to him. Those were the tablets of stone that in the first were cast down when he descended the mountain the first time and found the children of Israel worshiping golden calves that they had made and had called them gods that had delivered them from Egypt's bondage. And it was there, the second time on the mountain with God that God described himself more specifically to Moses and revealed a defining of his name that's often overlooked, but yet nonetheless important to understand. If you would please, look at this. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Jealous. God described himself as jealous. He said his name is jealous. The false gods, the images and idols that were and would be created by the hands of man were to be broke down. They were to be destroyed. Groves that they were held and harbored by were to be cut down as well. Their image and identity were to be no more. Their name that they were called by was to have no place. It was to have no place in their life. It was to be so because God said, simply stated that he was jealous. It was so strongly put to Moses that he looked at him and said, you could even call my name jealous. You could refer to me as jealous. Not in the negative connotation that man often puts it in, that's filled with hate and worry and woe, but in the purity of the way that God looked at his people and the way that God wanted his people to look at him. He was saying to Moses, Moses, I feel so strongly about this. I feel so strongly about the fact that there cannot be a false image, a false God, an allegiance to something that is untrue, that I want you to know that you can call me jealous, that you can title me as such, that you can refer to me as one that has such a zeal and has such a love and has such a care and concern that you can say that, in fact, I am jealous for you. God wanted it to be known that his name was not a lifeless idol identity like that of the false gods of the lands that they were in, just pieces and stumps of wood, stone that was carved out by the hands of man that may have had a mouth but could not speak, and may have had eyes but they could not see, hands but they could do nothing, and feet but they could not walk anywhere. He went on through another prophet and said that they had to be carried about. There was no life in them. There was no breath in them. God didn't want to be identified as that. And so he said, I'm jealous. But he wanted to be known that his name was alive, that it was active, that it was powerful, that it was prevailing. His name would not give place to another. His glory he would not give to another. He was, understand this today, in this house right now, he was and he is a jealous God. He has not changed from that. He has not diminished from that. He was and he is a jealous God. He's a God that does not share the space with or a tolerance or an acceptance for another God in the heart and the life of his people. He'll not allow it to take up room and residence in existence in our relationship with him. That's why Jesus, God incarnate, said that we cannot serve both God and mammon. Two masters cannot be served at the same time because we will love the one and we will hate the other. In 1 Samuel, the 5th chapter, when the Philistines took the ark of God from Israel, they took it to the city of Ashdod and they placed it in the temple of Dagon, their false god, next to the carved image of Dagon. And when they came in the next day, the image of Dagon was fallen to the earth with its face to the ground. They set the image back up the next day in its place, only to find that the next day that they entered, that it was not just that it was as it once was, but again it was fallen to the ground. But this time the hands and the head of that image were cut off. No one had been in the temple. It was a God thing that happened. God will not share space. He will not share space in our life with something that tries to take his place. He will all ultimately show that it has no power to think or help. He will take its head. In other words, he cut off the head of Dagon. He will take its authority and he will cut off the hands of Dagon. In other words, he will take and cut off the work that it tries to do. He will make it bow. There will be no God beside him. Do you believe that today? All the other gods that are titled in this world, all the other things that people say have preeminence in their life, they cannot share. They cannot share the territory with our God. But as it always is, humanity will try to take the place of God. Humanity will try to put itself in the place of God. Not necessarily always a false idol that's carved by the hands of man, but humanity will attempt to take and place itself, ourself, in the place that God is meant to take up residence. Or we will give something else the place, allegiance of God, that he should occupy in our life. That's what was happening in the book of Jeremiah here. Understand this, how it unfolds. The prophets were dreaming dreams. They were dreaming dreams, speaking prophecies and words, claiming them to be from God when they were not. This is something that needs to be said in our particular culture right now. This is something that needs to be said in this present day in churches. I really believe this because there's many people hearing many things and saying many things that need to be articulated and need to be run through the word, need to be filtered through the word. And that's what was happening here. The prophets were dreaming dreams. They were speaking prophecies and words, and they were claiming them to be from God when they were not. The dream would be dreamed, and they would say it, and they would say that it was from God when it was not from God. They would speak the words of it and give the sound, if you would, as if it was to be heard and heeded. But no matter how much they would make it sound as if it was from God, it was not. The prophecy had just enough of an intonation to it that it sounded spiritual. It had all the form and the fashion of it being from God and being godly, but it was not. They had that preachery sound. They had that authoritative sound. They had that ecclesiastical intonation to it. It seemed to be of God. They were saying it was from God. They were saying that the dream had been given by God. But God wasn't in it, not at all. So God said through the prophet Jeremiah, he looked and he said about these prophets that had made them forget the name of God by the dreams and the words of the prophecies that they supposedly were speaking and saying. So Jeremiah said, what is the chaff? What is the chaff to the wheat? Is not my word like a fire? Is not my word like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? He said they had forgotten his name for the name of the false god of Baal, which was a preeminent god within the Old Testament that often people gravitated to. And he said, they have forgotten my name and they're remembering his name. They had caused others to forget his name with the dreams that they were dreaming and the prophecies that they were telling them. So God wanted them to remember. He looked through the prophet and with emphatic words, he said, what is the chaff to the wheat? What is the chaff to the wheat? The chaff was nothing more than a weak encasement of nothingness, a sheath that covered the wheat that sustained nothing. The chaff was meaningless. It held no weight. It was only good to be blown away with the wind as it was threshed in the floor or burned by the fire that would be in the floor where it was threshed in that day. But the wheat would remain. It would grow again. It would sustain the life. It weighed more. Do you understand this? The wheat weighed more than the chaff. The chaff was weak. It was useless. It was blown away. It was burned. But after the fire went through the floor, after the wind blew the chaff away, what would remain there, the weightiness that would remain there was the wheat. It remains the same this day in this place. What is the chaff to the wheat? God's word and his name. What is it that comes into our life that tries to unseat and unsettle the all-powerful and the all-consuming word and name of God? What diagnosis is greater than him? What sin can he not save us from? What problem or pain in our life is he not greater than that? What is the chaff to the wheat? What is it, that light thing in our life that comes up against us and we think that it takes preeminence and power over our life? Can I tell somebody, what is the chaff compared to the wheat in your life this day? Too often our flesh buys into the fear and we miss the real word of God and the real authority of his name for lesser things. Somebody needs to understand this today. Look at this scripture if you would. And somebody needs to read this out loud. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything? Somebody say anything. Anything. Is there anything that's too hard for me? There is nothing. I'm telling somebody in the house today, there is nothing too hard for God. There is nothing that is greater than the good that he is. What is that chaff compared to the wheat of God? What is that weakness compared to the authority of God in your life right now? We feel the heat of the day and the fire of the trial that we are in, but we forget that his word and his name is greater than anything that has ever or will be named by humanity. Amen. There is nothing that can take preeminence or authority over the name of Jesus and the word of God in your life. And it cannot be that we continually live below the means that has been given to us because we are intimidated or we feel apprehensive or our heart condemns us. I'm telling you today, amen, if your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Too often we buy into it. We feel that heat, the fire, the trial that we're in, but we forget that he has given us a name that is above everything that is named. His word is higher. Come on, anybody with me right now? His word is higher than any other. Amen. He has given us a better word. Go back, if you would, please. Jeremiah 23, 29. It's not my word. It's not my word. It's not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Is not his word like a fire? It consumes what tries to consume it. Anything you bring against it, anything that comes in your life that comes against the word of God, can I tell you, no matter how hot the day might be or how hot the trial might be, how much heat's turned on in your life, amen, there is no fire that can compare to that fire. Amen. The fire of God's word, it'll consume no matter how hot the day. No, his word burns greater. No matter the heat of your trial, his word, his name burns greater still. His word is like a hammer. There's not a rock of offense that can resist it. Hear me? You've got an offense in your life. Great peace have all they which love thy word. Nothing shall offend them. Amen. Why? Because when you bring, somebody said something to you, somebody did something to you, when you bring the word of God, when you bring the word of God into your life, come on, you may have a circumstance or a misunderstanding or something that you're facing and dealing with right now. Amen. Don't bring your words to it. Bring the word of God to it, because his word is like a hammer. It will begin to hammer that thing, that rock of offense that's in front of you, and piece by piece, it will break it away. Amen. You don't have to live offended today. You don't have to live in bitterness today. You don't have to live with feelings in your heart. You don't have to live with things constantly occupying your mind and keeping you from God. That mountain can break by the authority of the word of God today. You just have to stand strong in it and believe it and claim it. Amen. Amen. That thing that's standing in between you and your victory. Take that hammer, the word of his, and come against it every day. There are prayers that I have been praying for years. There are things that I have been repeating on a daily basis. I'm not trying to weary God. I'm not trying to have vain repetition. But I have learned there is something about the hammer of God. It may not break the mountain in one swift blow, but piece by piece, I'm gonna keep on praying it. Amen. I'm gonna keep on believing it. I'm gonna wake up, I'm gonna open the book, and I'm gonna stand on the word. I'm gonna quote it again, I'm gonna believe it again, Brother Hughes. Amen. It may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but I'm still gonna take the hammer of the word, and I'm gonna hammer against that rock of offense that stands between me and my victory, me and my answer, me and my hope, and I'm gonna believe God. If it doesn't break in my lifetime, I know that there is going to be a day, according to the book of Revelation, that he will descend with a shout, and he will break that mountain in pieces. Amen. And you and I are going to have a victory, maybe not in this flesh, but we will have a victory in that which is to come. Whether he heals now or whether he heals then, I stand strong in the word of God today to know, amen, what is the chaff to the wheat? Amen. What's the word's like a fire. It's like a hammer. You just got to keep hammering away at what you believe in. Amen. Comes that moment that you have to proclaim his greatness greater than the thing that seems to be greater in front of you. You have to speak his name over it. It has to give way. It has to bow to his authority. Do you understand that? It has to bow to the authority of God. It has to bow to the authority of his word. God does not, and he will not share space with that which tries to take his place, because nothing compares to God. We can put up all our worry and our wonder. We can put up all our thoughts on high, and they can seem to loom over us like a dark cloud. But I can tell you today that he rides the storm, and he is greater, the word said, than any calamity or chaos or storm that comes to us. Somebody say amen. And now, look at this in Hosea. And now, they sin more and more and have made them molten images of their silver and idols according to their own, somebody say this word, understanding. Say it, understanding. All of it, all of the work of the craftsmen, they say, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. That's an entire sermon in itself. Let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. Therefore they shall be as the morning cloud and as the early dew that passeth away, and the chaff that is driven with the whirlwind out of the floor, and as the smoke out of the chimney. Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. Humanity builds false gods and tries to let things get above God according to their understanding. It is good, and this is going to sound a little, maybe just a little bit misunderstood, but I hope you get it. It is good every now and then for us to find ourselves in places that pass our understanding. It's not a bad thing. If you're in some place today where you're not getting it, you don't have a definition, you can't put a title on it, you can't somehow find a definition on the internet, you don't know what to do, that's not such a bad place to be in sometimes, because it is only in the places of misunderstood and misunderstandings that we can have peace that passes understanding. I cannot have peace in that capacity on this side of it, amen, because that misunderstanding brings me to a place in God that I would have not known otherwise. I get peace in that place of that passes understanding. And I can put my mind there and keep it there, and he will keep me in that perfect peace. Come on, somebody that's going through something right now in the sound of my voice that you cannot get a handle on, can I tell you, God will give you a peace that passes understanding. When you don't get it, when you don't know it, and you don't know how to title it, I'm telling you, God can be in that place of the misunderstood. Amen. Amen. We don't have to understand everything. That's the wonderful thing about God. We don't have to be able to comprehend it all. We don't have to be able to articulate it all. That's why he is meek and lowly. His burden, his yoke is light. We can come unto him. We can cast all our care. We serve a God that surpasses understanding. He works in ways that are above us. Everybody say, above me. He works in ways that are above me. God will drive that chaff away, the prophet said. He will burn it, and it will be like smoke out of a chimney. It will be no more, because that's all it's good for. Those chaff things of our life, they're not greater than the wheat of our life. Because there is nothing beside God that you can compare to him. There's nothing that we can line up next to him that is greater. He shares no space. What is trying to be greater than Jesus in your life? There's no savior beside him. Jesus is your salvation. His name is the only saving name. His word is all powerful, not the word of man. The word of God is all powerful. The prognosticators of doom and glooms, the dreamer of dreams, those that prophesy false prophecies. Amen. God is greater. They can say it all day long, whatever they want to say. But God's going to ultimately be right. We can have all the conspiracy theories and all the prophets of doom and all the people saying this is going to happen and that's the way it's going to be. But at the end of the day, can I tell you, do you know what's going to stand? It's not going to be that guy on the internet that's telling you to do this and do that and be this and believe that. You know what's going to stand at the end of the day? It's going to be the word of God. It's not going to be some voice of man. It's not going to be something that somebody's concocted. Somebody had a bad dream last night and they're going to put it out there for everybody. No, no, no. This is what we shall be judged by. This is what we must live by. This is what it must be in our life that is greater than anything else in our life. Come on, don't buy into all those things that the world is trying to tell you right now. At the end of the day, come what may, go what may, God will be glorified and he will be greater, and we can trust in him. Because there's nothing beside God. The false dreams, I'm almost done. The false dreams and false gods. This is important to understand. If you go back and read this entirety of this chapter, they called him, as a matter of fact, in the early part of this chapter, they called him the Lord of Righteousness. But then there was these dreams and these prophecies that were coming out, and they had a dream, and so it was from God, they would say. And in so doing, when there was the preoccupation, everybody needs to hear this right now, okay? Because there was so much inundation of this stuff just coming in at them, that ultimately they forgot the name of God. They forgot, they were so consumed with so much information and so much somebody saying this and somebody saying that, that they forgot the name of God. And they started looking at the name of Baal. They forgot the authority of the name of their Savior. We too often forget the power and the authority of the name of Jesus. I'm telling somebody, hear me. When you pray your prayers tonight, pray them in Jesus' name. I know that is incredibly simple, but it is also incredibly important. When you bow your head at your meal today, you're not just thanking any old God. You are thanking the name of Jesus. When you bow your knee beside your bed tonight and you call that covering of the Holy Ghost over your home and family, you're not calling on Buddha, and you're not calling on some false image somewhere, and you're not, you're calling on the name of Jesus. You are speaking that all authoritative name that is above everything that's named. Come on, anybody feeling this with me right now? I feel the Holy Ghost in this. It's that key that you put in the lock, and it opens the door to the storehouse of the riches of the Spirit. It allows God to be put in the rightful place of your life. It reminds the supernatural. It reminds that cloud of witnesses that you are not neglecting that gift that has been put within you. And when you begin to speak that name that is above every, that name of Jesus. Amen. It used to be there was this bumper sticker they put out a few general conferences decades ago, and it said, the people of the name of Jesus are the people of Jesus' name. Amen. I still proclaim it today. I still believe in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's not just God that I'm praying to, but he has given us that name. We know what to call him. His name is jealous, absolutely, but it's all encompassing when you speak that name of Jesus over your life, over your need, when you pray, when you agree, when we touch these things together, Jesus. When you pray over that baby, that fever would be gone. When you pray over that sickness, that it would flee. When you pray over that dilemma in your life, that circumstance that you don't know what to do, you do that not just by ending it any old way. You do it by claiming and calling the name of Jesus. I will tell you that the name of Jesus is greater than cancer. I will tell you that the name of Jesus is greater than COVID. I will tell you that the name of Jesus is greater than conflict. I will tell you that the name of Jesus is greater than any problem in your life. I will tell you today that the name of Jesus is greater than leukemia. I will tell you that the name of Jesus is greater than your lost child. I will tell you that the name of Jesus is greater than any circumstance in your life. I will tell you that the name of Jesus, amen, is greater than government. I will tell you that the name of Jesus is greater than any false god today. The name of Jesus is higher. Amen. For there is salvation in no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. His name is Jesus. Amen. Baptizing them in the name of Jesus for the remission of their sins. Hallelujah. Come on, there's salvation, there's hope, there's healing in the name of Jesus. Somebody ought to praise God for his high and holy and wonderful and righteous and saving name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, you can't forget that name. There's a lot of things wanting to take prevalence in your life, but I'm telling you, you can't forget that name. Don't let anything make you forget that name. Come on, musicians, don't forget that name of Jesus that's been given to you to sustain you, to ignite the fire within you, to break the rock that opposes you. Amen. There's been times that I've just... Brother Wallace, that I've just went to prayer and I didn't know what to pray and I didn't know what to say and I didn't know what to do. So you know what I did? I just kept saying, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Anybody get this right now? Anybody ever done that? You don't know what you're gonna pray about. You don't know how you're gonna pray about it. You don't know what to think. You don't know what to do. And so you're just in that moment and you're feeling that fear overwhelm you and you're feeling that crisis come around you and all you just, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus, and that's okay. Can I tell you? Because when you pray, when you call on that name, something begins to happen in the spirit that you don't have to understand and you don't have to know and you don't have to be able to articulate. All you have to do is breathe that name of Jesus. Come on, somebody, stand your feet. What is that chaff in your life compared to the wheat? What is that problem, that corn of wheat that fell into the ground and died and rose again and his name was Jesus? What is that chaff compared to that wheat? What's your problem compared to him? What he can do for you? What's that word that's been named in your life? Can I tell you, nothing can get above the name of Jesus. Somebody ought to lift their hands right now and begin to call on and begin to praise and begin to worship and begin to magnify this high and holy and wonderful and superior name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, magnify. I will magnify, I will praise the name above everything that's named.